a natural alert bark, especially in a situation where you guys are. They can actually, through the bark, tell somebody else if it's a bear, if it's a wolf, or if it's a whatever.
Expert animal behaviorist from The Dog Whisperer addresses some of Haines Animal Rescue Kennel's top issues. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. Haines Animal Rescue Kennel is in its 8th year as the local shelter for unwanted and homeless animals. It's also a meaningful resource for pet owners in a dog-friendly community. In another part of the world, professional dog trainer Cesar Millan is embarking on his 6th season of his National Geographic TV show, The Dog Whisperer, which teaches principles of dog behavior. Millan recognizes that Alaskan dog owners run into different training problems than most of the dogs on his show. For starters, he describes the difference between an annoying dog bark and a bark that actually might warn an owner of an intruding animal.
Annoying dog bark, to me, it feels a frustrated animal. You know, to me, it's very clear. A natural alert bark, especially in a situation where you guys are, they can actually, through the bark, tell somebody else if it's a bear, if it's a wolf, or if it's a whatever it is. And if the smell it can trigger, you know, because they pick up the scent. If the smell can trigger, is that a predator or is that a prey? Obviously, when they smell, they pick up a prey, they get really excited about it. And when they pick up a scent of predator, they get very unsure about it.
Hark also impounds dogs that are wandering away from their owners. And in a town without many fences, that can add up to a lot of caged canines. Millan says that problem is a matter of training the humans and not the dogs.
Obviously, we have to train the human to really provide boundaries and to be consistent with this teaching, you know. Because where I'm from, even though it's not Alaska, it's a rural environment, and it has the same feeling, you know. I'm from Mexico, I'm from a farm, and dogs, you know, a lot of people can't afford fences. But they make sure they tell the dog how far can they go. And then the dog learn that this is as far as he can go. You know, but one thing that I did so, you know, growing up in Mexico is the consistency that these people have over their animals, just like they are with the cows, they're with the pigs and the chickens. They're very consistent, you know, because they really depend on their animals. So what I saw growing up is how consistent people were reminding the dog if it was 20 feet okay, 40 feet okay. It's, you know, it's really up to you, but the consistency, you know, he's not going to be able to learn on his own. You have to tell him. And as you know, dogs can roam, you know, much more than 40 feet, but at the same time, they can also be conditioned to only stay within the 40 feet, you know, environment. But that has to do not so much training the dog, but it's training the human to be very consistent and very clear.
Impound fees generally apply to detained doggies who do have owners, and that fee is determined by whether or not the dog is registered in the borough or whether or not the animal is spayed or neutered. Both Hark and Millan are proponents of the operations to control the animal population.
You know, even though it's Alaska and it's America, it still have the same behavior as the third country, you know. But this has to come from a conscious mind, you know, where we're making a conscious decision to really help the overpopulation. What they don't realize is all the dogs that go inside pounds and get killed because they don't have homes. From an instinctual point of view, you know, just like a man will say, I won't do it to myself. But also, you're not seeing the bigger picture. You know, would you do that to other kids? Would you do it to the next generation just to overpopulate, you know, and not being really responsible about what can we do to really make a change, you know?
Hark is also a no-kill shelter, but faces problems with this policy because some of the aggressive dogs they house are difficult to rehabilitate, let alone adopt out or send to overcrowded sanctuaries.
Again, it goes back to education. Aggression is not the problem. It's the outcome of a problem, you know. So why predators, you know, choose aggression? Because it's the easiest way to get rid of unwanted energy, you know. Why that unwanted energy? Because the body and the mind was not fulfilled. I often repeat myself saying exercise, discipline, affection. We are helping shelters to become educated about the use of dog psychology. Dog psychology is going to be the way that we can help them to recover. They don't born unstable, they become unstable.
Cesar Millan just released a 4th book called How to Raise the Perfect Dog. At the same time, a 6th season of his show, The Dog Whisperer, premieres on Friday. For more information about Haynes Animal Rescue Kennel, go to harkalaska.org. Youth crime doesn't normally inspire good deeds, but in a town recently disappointed by youth crime, at least one Haynes man is doing what he can to help his own hometown.
I've taken enough from this community, so I figure it's time to give back.
Fred Brulette recently joined AmeriCorps, obligating him to 1 year of service to the organization, but more importantly, to Haynes. The program he's involved in, called Birch, is geared to providing community service to rural communities, but still gives volunteers the freedom to decide exactly what they want to do for their towns.
You know, the crime rate amongst the youth has kind of increased a little bit, and one of my goals before my year service is up is trying to find healthy, positive activities for them to do, little projects that, you know, I might come up with myself to get teenagers and young adults involved with, so that way they're not sitting around going, I'm bored, or, you know, we got to find something to do, because, you know, wintertime is tough. You know, these long hours in the wintertime, maybe some kids will, you know, want to learn how to make drums or painting or learn how to spin. Just, you know, something positive.
13 people were chosen from around the state to be part of this year's program, from places like Sitka and Chivac, the Aleutians, and up north. The position with AmeriCorps is classified as a membership and comes with a living allowance.
Birch is basically a community wellness, dealing with different subjects like FASD, diabetes, HIV, STI, diseases, alcohol, tobacco prevention, suicide prevention, which was the most sensitive subject that we studied.
As part of an AmeriCorps membership, Brulette participated in a week-long training program in Anchorage that teaches the members how to use their own experiences and motivation to help in their own communities.
Every day was a different subject. And one class we had an HIV STD awareness seminar, then diabetes awareness, different facts about that. The gatekeeper class is the suicide prevention, alcohol, tobacco abuse, and then just basic youth and community involvement ideas of things we can do back home to get community and youth involved with like cultural preservation or recycling, areas like that.
Since 1993, more than 540,000 Americans have served in AmeriCorps. It's a national service program through the U.S. government and places about 75,000 adults a year into service positions that help with a variety of issues, from disaster response to teaching computer skills. Brulette got involved when he decided to make some positive changes in his own life. In the meantime, he's hoping to make it easier for others to make similar choices.
My mother was an AmeriCorps member years ago, so that's how I found out about the program. And just seeing how my friends and family are, you know, raising their kids and how they're trying to be a positive influence, I figured if I come back, you know, maybe there's some small thing I can do. This is part of my evolution also, is to stop some bad habits. Basically, yeah, smoking cigarettes is the top one I'm working on right now and trying to change my life. And, you know, just trying to be a better person all around, because I represent AmeriCorps. When I'm on their time, I represent who they are. And I can't, you know, a person can't be doing their old habits and shooting their mouth off like I have and done other bad things that I'm trying to cancel out, I guess. And maybe help a few people along the way. If I help just one person, I know that's cliche, but then I've done my job.
And it could be his past experiences that make him a good fit for the job. But although Brulette has made a big commitment to a more positive future for himself and his hometown, some big challenges are still ahead as he works towards effective community outreach.
Fortunately, Rodney Henson is my site supervisor, and he's known at the school already and knows the youth and knows a lot of the people that I need to get in contact with. And then I've got my own projects on the side that I want to work on, such as, like, you know, getting youth into newer things like DJing, maybe artwork. Urban art is the way I'm going to phrase it. And right now, our biggest project is working at the old cemetery out by the airport. Clear the place out for now and make it nice so that way when people come to visit their, you know, to pay respects to the dead, they, it's not going to be a jungle or so enclosed and dark back there.
Brulette says dealing with youth crime is partly about offering healthy options to the kids in town, but it's also about setting an example. And he hopes his new position with AmeriCorps will help do that.
I think really bringing out knowledge and trying to encourage people to maybe change a few things of their habits, you know, and I'm not here to change the world or anything, but just in what I've learned and what I've experienced, I feel like I can do at least do my part, you know, maybe lead by example, try to recycle more, try to, you know, eat healthier foods, exercise, try and quit certain vices that hold us back, and just all around have a better positive mental attitude. You know, I feel like I've woken up and it's like, whoa, you know, I do have the power to better myself and maybe help a few people around in the community, and just try and do my best as a person.
This is Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS.